Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Ryan Sprague here. Before we get to this special panel discussion, I have some people to thank for making it happen. First and foremost, Peter Robbins. This panel originally aired on Peter Robbins' radio show, Meanwhile, Here on Earth, on the KGRA network. Please be sure to check out the extended version of this conversation by joining the KGRA members-only site, where you'll have access to hundreds of episodes from all of KGRA's stable of shows. Use the discount code PETER when signing up for 30% off your subscription price. You can also subscribe to the KGRA YouTube channel to watch all interviews live for 24 hours. This was an awesome panel discussion that 3/4 of the Rogue Planet team got to take part in. Myself, Jason McClellan, and Shane Hurd. We got to speak with Robert Salas all about his upcoming UFOs and Nukes conference happening October 19th at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. This event will be live-streamed for free on YouTube. All links are in the show notes. Special thanks once again to Peter Robbins, Bill Skywatcher, KGRA, and to Robert Salas. I hope you enjoy.
This is Somewhere in the Skies with Ryan Sprague.
Bob, obviously I want to begin with you. Sometime back you announced that you were creating this initiative for this new event, which will take place next month on October 19th. Can you tell us something about how you came to put this together, your reasons for doing it, and what we can expect to see on October 19th at the National Press Club?
Yeah, thanks, Peter. I think we have a very unique point in time here. Now that the DOD has admitted that this phenomenon is real, it's not imaginary officially and in writing, and we haven't heard those kind of words from the government before. So we've got a unique opportunity, but I felt strongly after the report came out that we are in for kind of a repeat of what we've seen before with this phenomenon. That is, we would get a little bit of acknowledgement of this and that, but nothing of substance. I'm convinced that in order to get to the issue, to the substance of the matter, we're going to have open hearings.
Yes.
And in order to have open hearings, we're going to have put pressure on Congress. I know there have been a couple of congressmen and a senator maybe who have mentioned open hearings. But knowing what I do about past events, of course, I've been researching this for over 25 years. I've been public for over 25 years. What usually happens is we get a little dribs and drabs, and the subject seems to fall by the wayside. So the purpose of this press conference is in particular to focus on the UFO nuclear weapons connection, which is seemingly not been talked about too much in the media.
Yes.
Lately. So we're going to bring forward myself and three other strong witnesses, all ex-military, And we're going to give our details on very specific incidents. But they only represent the tip of the iceberg, as you know.
Yes.
There have been hundreds, literally hundreds, of incidents that have been documented primarily by Robert Hastings in his book, UFOs and Nukes. And I want to give a big shout out to Robert. He's not feeling well these days. Otherwise, he'd be along my side at the press conference. But he has been very helpful to me in getting things put together, and so he'll be missed. But that's the purpose. We're going to have these people talk their stories and provide detailed evidence of what transpired. We'll also have a press package to give to the press present.
Excellent.
And it will be live streamed.
Outstanding.
Free for everyone to watch.
Wow. A question as a natural archivist and knowing the impact that authentic declassified documents, not something put together in somebody's basement, but absolutely gilt-edged, can have on a reader who is simply unfamiliar with them. The five of us have looked at these things for years, if not decades, and you know, it's kind of second nature. But are you considering including any official declassified documentation in the press packages?
Absolutely. The press package will include some declassified documents. I have already come up with what I call my briefing book. It's been sent to members of Congress and senators. They've acknowledged receipt. So there's no way they can state that they don't know about these things or they don't have official records of them.
Yes.
And by them, I mean these incidents involving UFOs and nuclear weapons bases. So the idea here now is to put pressure on them to have open hearings so we can bring more witnesses forward. Of course, many of the witnesses are in the background still because of, you know, the usual reasons.
Yep.
Ridicule, fear of loss of job or...
Sure.
What have you. But if hearings are open to the public and they are official government hearings, I'm sure a lot of them will come forward.
Now, another question for you before I open up to our panel here, any questions that they may want to begin putting forward. Is this happening on a day when Congress is in session? Have you checked?
Yes, I was assured, of course, we don't know for sure, but I'm pretty well assured that Congress will be in session during that week, the week of the 18th through the 22nd of October.
Okay.
We're hoping to have, meetings with, members of Congress. I've sent out, requests for meetings.
Yes.
And I've had some nibbles, but nothing definite yet.
Okay. Very good. Gentlemen, Ryan, Jason, Shane, questions for Bob?
Sure. I'll start. And I do want to apologize. My mic was on mute during your introductions, Peter. I wasn't ignoring anyone. But hopefully you can hear me now.
Unforgivable. Race.
Unforgivable.
Push the button.
Why am I here? Not my good impression with Mr. Salas. I'd love to ask you, Bob. We got this report recently. We are supposedly getting, or they're trying to pass a bill for the 2022 Authorization Act for a permanent UFO office. And it seems that the one glaring agency that we're hearing nothing from is the Department of Energy, which presumably would be the one that I think would handle these nuclear situations with UAP. So I was curious if there was any ever dealings you had with the Department of Energy in you know, briefing and at the National Press Club. And why? Why do you think that this preliminary assessment we got didn't mention any, you know, they mentioned restricted airspace, but there was no mention of nuclear sites. Why do you think that is? And why aren't we hearing anything from the Department of Energy? Those would be my two questions.
Great.
Yeah, well, I have not had any dealings with the Department of Energy. I know they are responsible for the production, I think, of nuclear weapons. Originally, they were in charge of the entire atomic program. But I'm more interested in getting into the files of the CIA, DIA, DARPA, and those other agencies. It's encouraging that DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, is was one of the first that was contacted by Harry Reid, or actually they contacted him when he set up ATIP. We know the agencies that have these secrets all locked up. It's just a matter of prying those open. And Congress has the power to do that, no question. So that's why open hearings are critical.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ryan, what was your second question?
I think you basically answered it. But yeah, why do you think in the preliminary assessment we got that there was no mention of nuclear site incursions? You know, we heard restricted airspace, but no mention whatsoever. If they're going to go with this potential threat thing, why wouldn't they mention nuclear sites at all, in your personal opinion?
Yeah, that's a mystery to me, too. And that's another reason I want to bring this issue front and center. You know, the first instance that I was able to research UFOs being involved in nuclear facilities was over Hanford nuclear site, where they were producing plutonium in 1945, even before the first atomic bomb test. UFOs were intercepted on radar. Pursuit aircraft were sent out against them, and then from there on, it was continuous. There was continuous interest in the area of UFOs and nuclear facilities.
If I may jump in for a moment, I've given that question some thought as well, and not surprising to us, when the report dropped in June. Shakespeare, as usual, got it right, and it wasn't quite much ado, it wasn't completely much ado about nothing, but, you know, it was so coy with a hammer. It might be the Russians, it might be the Chinese, it might be some super secret agency or office within our government or military industrial complex that we, the Navy, are not aware of, or who knows, it might just be. This, of course, is nonsensical in that we know as well as we can know that there is a very real likelihood that some, stress not all, truly anomalous UFOs do represent advanced technology from parts unknown under intelligent control. But for me, that report was not the report. It was the first of, if they can get away with it, many, many, many reports that they will drag along for the next several hundred years if they possibly could. Each one, we've discovered something else, or we have a little more information to give you. What we can be assured of is that they will not willingly ever put anything in that they feel might panic the public or sound too science fiction-y or be too exotic. Hence, we'll never hear in any of the reports that come about abductions, about missing pregnancies, about hybrids, about these areas of study that are quite real, but to the general public are problematic. And if we were to say these intelligences, these technologies have the power to shut down our most advanced, most deadly weapon systems, that could be upsetting for some people. But in fact, it's a core fact, as you know better than most people, Bob.
Yeah, that would be a major story. But even the bigger story is the very fact that our government, and other governments around the world have been keeping these secrets for decades.
Yes.
Decades, literally. And I think that's the big big elephant in the room that the governments just don't want to admit to, that they have indeed been keeping these secrets. And I think that's the really big story here.
Again, before turning it back to our panel, military hubris, human ego, the idea that if we were to make even a token admission, either via the president's office or what have you, it would mean admitting that the leading figures in our government who were briefed to know what was going on have all been unindicted co-conspirators in the greatest cover-up in the history of humanity. And they're a little sensitive about that. Go figure. Gentlemen, next question for Robert Salas.
Well, I'll jump in with one. And first of all, Bob, I just want to congratulate you and say kudos for putting this together. I mean, that is no small task, and it's hugely appreciated. I was really excited to see when I saw that you'd managed to put this together. But I know we've all been excitedly watching, you know, kind of the shift in public attitude toward this topic. We've seen the government's maybe renewed interest in this subject. A lot going on right now. Certainly the climate seems to have shifted a little bit, but how do you see the attitude within the government and their reaction to an event like this at the press club as being any different from how it's been the several times before that there have been UFO-related events at the National Press Club? And when this topic, I mean, this is certainly not the first time you brought this topic to the public's attention, and you've spoken before about it at the National Press Club. So how do you see this event, given the current temperament, the current climate with this topic, how do you see it being different this time around?
Well, a couple of ways, Jason. Number one, I'm not alone in this. We're going to have to have a public outcry for more information. The ODNI, House of Defense National Intelligence, in its report stated they have to look into the possibility that this is a national security issue. That's in writing. That's in print. And Congress knows it. The DOD knows it. And they're going to have to address it. Well, I'm pressing the issue on UFOs and nukes, and that is definitely an area of interest of national security. So there's no backing away from that topic now. It's on public record, and so I'm going to press the issue with this press club, and it will. The reason I wanted it to be a stream live all over the world, basically, because it's going to be on YouTube, is to bring public pressure to bear on our Congress, our government, to look into this particular topic, which they have not done seriously before. Does that answer?
It certainly does. Absolutely. And I agree with you completely. I mean, it for us right here, we five, it seems weird to keep repeating these things over and over and over, but you're exactly right. I mean, the general public still, even though these stories have been told countless times, they're still not aware that these things are happening. And even, I always have to remind people, going back to very baby steps, even though the government has been saying these things on the record, the large majority of the general public is still stuck at that very baby step of believing that UFOs, just unknown objects, exist in our airspace. That's the baby step we're still stuck at with a lot of the general public.
Exactly. Exactly right, Jason. We need to get the public to fully not only realize but accept the idea that we are indeed being visited. The answer to the question, you know, are these extraterrestrial objects is a relatively simple logic. And you and I, we all know the logic. It's very easy. If these, what has been observed, could not have been produced on planet Earth, then it must have been produced elsewhere. And by these observations, you know, the extreme speeds flying above, you know, Mach 5, making 90-degree turns, silently hovering, those kinds of things, we just can't do here.
frankly, on a very elemental level, it doesn't really matter at this stage in the game, at the very, very introductory exploration of this, it doesn't matter where they're from, right? If they're extraterrestrial or not, the very fact that they exist and they're doing what they do, that should concern some people and encourage everybody to want to look into it more. So, absolutely. You know, that's good to see right now from the scientific community.
And we do have the scientific community taking a look now. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Recently, AIAA, is it? Their organization, Aeronautics and Astronautics, has taken an interest in the subject. We have more and more. I know Abby Loeb, a Harvard astrophysicist, is taking a strong interest in it. And Michio Kaku, et cetera. So I think it's coming. Things are changing. I definitely think things are changing in the scientific community and in the public in general.
Without question, and for well over 3 years now, there has been an incredibly noticeable dissipation in the power of ridicule. 5 years ago, most people that had an interest in the subject but weren't, you know, identified with it like we are, would essentially keep it to themselves or share it with people that they knew it was okay to share it with without a fear of ridicule. And one thing I think we can say now that is creating a healthier and healthier climate for information like this to be presented in a compelling way is more and more people care less and less what other people think about what they think about this subject. And that's landmark. It also makes perfect sense that the event that you're creating, as powerful as it was in 2013 with Steve Bassett's remarkable disclosure event at the National Press Club, to have people like me there testifying, as well as people like you with a solid military background, is to do this with colleagues with gilt-edged military backgrounds. It has a certain gravitas that most regular folks respect. Oh, you know, you served, you had this rank, you alleged to have been involved in this incident. I will take you more seriously than somebody with a civilian background. Right or wrong, that's the way we function to a degree.
What's up, guys? Ryan dropping in to wish you all a very happy Halloween season. And what better way to celebrate than with Jim Harold's Campfire Podcast? With over 500 episodes of Campfire, you'll hear stories that will bend your reality and leave you truly spooked. The concept is pretty simple. Jim talks to regular folks about strange stuff that happens to them. And yes, that includes UFOs and UAPs, along with cryptids and, of course, ghosts. Now, not all the stories are horrifying. Some are pretty heartwarming, like a visit from a past loved one or a peaceful near-death experience. Regardless, they are true and fascinating stories, as told by ordinary people who've had extraordinary experiences. So, pull up a log and tune in to Jim Harold's Campfire on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to Somewhere in the Skies. And remember, stay spooky. What's up, guys? Ryan Sprague here, and I'm just dropping in to remind you about our Patreon campaign. Somewhere in the Skies is always free to consume, but it's not free to create. So if you want to help the show on a monthly basis, we have tons of rewards for you in return, including shoutouts on the show and website, bonus content and episodes, and free merch. Want to be my guest or pick a topic for the show? You can do that too. So if you'd like to learn more and to help support the show, visit patreon.com/somewhereskies. Thank you, and keep looking up.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'd love to piggyback off of that quickly, Peter. The stigma and ridicule shedding, that was one of the big things they said in that assessment, is they want to shed the stigma within the military so that they will report these things. And exactly. That was extremely hopeful to hear that. And yes. I can only imagine. And also the DOD saying, if you see a UFO or UAP, you have to report it within, I think, 2 weeks or something they said. I mean, this is uncanny what they're kind of, we've never seen anything like that. So I'd love to know, Bob, since this report has come out and since, you know, that ridicule factor is shedding within the military and I guess in the intelligence agencies, are you seeing an influx of more reports of nuclear UFO sightings, or will we hear of new cases at the conference possibly?
Yes, I'll mention quite a few cases besides the four that will be speaking. I'll mention other witnesses. Of course, some of them have passed, just as a teaser, there's information of fairly recent cases of UFOs over nuclear weapons facilities that I'll just mention. But again, some of these witnesses are reluctant to come forward. Some are still in the military. And don't want to be named. But even though the ridicule factor is just one factor, of course, the other factor is concern about their careers, their jobs, even concern about their safety. So these are still hurdles that need to be overcome. And I think open hearings will go a great deal to overcome those.
Yeah, I had a question for Bob, if I could. Yes. First of all, I wanted to say, you know, thank you for the presentation you made at the MUFON symposium. It was fascinating. I learned a lot from that. It was really great. So I really appreciated that. Kind of tagging along on this recently released report. One thing I think is an elephant in the room. First of all, I really appreciate that the Navy's, you know, taken the lead on this topic and, you know, this investigation and so forth. But what really stands out to me is, where's the Air Force on this thing? I mean, do you think that they just have had enough after Project Blue Book and they're just keeping their head down and they don't want to participate anymore, or what could be the reason? And to me, it screams loudly. Where are they and what are they doing? They probably have a bunch of information behind the scenes that could be of use. And I don't know if they're cooperating. I suppose they must be with the congressional report and all those requirements.
Yeah, Shane, that's a great question. I'm chuckling. First of all, I'm an Air Force Academy grad, right? And I considered myself a professional lifetime officer before I resigned. But the Air Force is probably hiding their head in shame right now, because even though they, in 1969, they issued a statement on UFOs stating they were not of national security interest, and as a result of the so-called Condon investigation, which was a complete whitewash, by the way, and I talk about that at length in my latest book. But since 1969, the official position of the Air Force is what I just said. It's not of great interest to them. It's not a national security issue, and therefore they were not going to evaluate reports, ask for reports, or study reports on UFOs. But it wasn't long after that they started having more sightings over nuclear bases. And I know in 1975, for example, there were again sightings at Malmstrom Air Force Base. 76, 77, on and on. 79, I could list quite a few instances up until, like I say, 2018. Wow. Reports of nuclear incursions by UFOs at nuclear weapons bases. So the Air Force is trying to hide, but I don't think they'll be successful for long, at least not after our presentations.
Yeah.
Great.
As a young student of ufology, I encountered the work of Dr. Edward U. Condon, who headed up that committee, and the more I learned about him, the more he seemed the exact wrong person for the job, dedicated to debunking. And I'm tempted to say, irreverent as it is, it might be more appropriate to call it the Condom Report. But it's my show, and I can say that.
Well said.
Can you say that on air, Peter?
Let's all say it together. Condom Report. Condom Report.
No, it's all right.
You quote me, and FCC, here I am. I think that's okay in this day and age. The reality of being a military officer and being caught up in an event like this is an abstraction to any one of us that has not had it happen. And over the decades, I've spoken with a small number of former military personnel who have shared with me bits and pieces of events. I know we're not here to talk about your book, Bob, but the impact of that event in 1967 had to have transformed you. Obviously, you couldn't go public as a zealot to get to the bottom of this in public at that time. But could you characterize the change that you went through, having lived through watching, essentially the nukes, the UFOs that were above ground that you were hearing referred to, knock out the ICBMs under your watch?
Peter, I can tell you that was life-changing, no doubt about it. Before the incident, I didn't think about UFOs at all, even though there were newspaper reports in the Great Falls Tribune all that week and previous weeks. I was reading reports about lights in the sky. I just laughed it off. I'll tell you what really got to me was the abject fear those guys upstairs were feeling as they were confronting this object. They were very, very close to it. There was a pulsating red-orange light just hovering there silently. In fact, the next day, of course, I was sworn to secrecy. I had to sign a non-disclosure statement. Sure. But the guards, a group of the guards called me at home the next morning after it happened and begged me, literally begged me to come and talk to them and see if we could figure out what the heck was going on. And I had to turn them down. To me, that was what stuck with me. Let's just say that it just stuck with me for over 27 years that I had to stay silent about this.
Yeah.
And thank God for Ray Fowler.
Yes.
Who you're aware of, I'm sure.
Sure.
Who is still alive, by the way.
He sure is. Working on a new book. He is.
And if it wasn't for him, I certainly could not have come forward, because it was his story in the Christian Science Monitor in 1973 that Timothy Good somehow got a hold of and put in his book, Above Top Secret. And as a result of Mike reading a small paragraph in that book, that I decided to come forward after receiving documents from the Air Force under the Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah. Well, not surprisingly, Bob, Ray Fowler wrote a really elegant foreword to your and James Klotz's book, Faded Giant. And if I may take a liberty, the weapons technology when you were a nuclear missiles officer, you were overseeing a battery of Minuteman missiles, correct?
Right, Minuteman 1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I may, I've collected some images here, and I'd just like to go through them fairly quickly. This is a fairly substantial missile, and I know that even all these years later, it would be inappropriate to ask you specifics about its power, how many megatons, et cetera. But I just wanted to... Sometimes images, and again, I'm a very visual person, can bring a point home and underscore words. We had these underground at locations around this country, in other countries, ready to go on a moment's notice. And you could be by a location and not even realize you were there, as schematics like this illustrate, or this one. And that's part of another thing. But yeah, the reality of being stationed there in the middle of a very remote area, and that blast door, you know, you could go by if there were roads, you know, 100 feet away and not even see that blast door right there. Anyway, I just wanted to share those with you, as well as this portrait of a very handsome captain.
That's a handsome captain.
Yeah.
And that man meant business. Well. If he said turn that key, you should turn that key. Very briefly, for anybody that's never visited the National Press Club, it is a location with the class, I think one could say, that one would want to see for an event like this. There is Robert Salas off to the left, and these shots were taken by me in 2013. Another one there. Again, a break time. And here's a shot of you, Bob, with somebody who we just lost and who I'm so glad I got to meet. It was there at the time. Actually,
Paul Hillier, yes.
When he came forward, he was the highest ranking government official in history to come forward and say, I take this seriously. And Paul Hillier was the former Secretary of Defense for Canada, major player. And us with some of our colleagues at the end of the event.
Yes.
It was a spectacular job. And again, thanks eternally to the amazing human machine that we call Stephen Bassett for creating this.
Yeah, I agree, Peter. Stephen Bassett has done a great job through the years pushing for disclosure.
Yes.
And I thoroughly enjoyed that 2013 event. It almost felt like an actual hearing, didn't it?
It surely did. And again, as anybody that's not aware, Stephen had received a massive donation to create this, and he had the funds to hire at an extraordinarily generous rate serving senators or congressional representatives to simply take some time. I think it was scheduled at a time that Congress was not in session. And not surprisingly, not a single one of them showed up, but none of them were willing, again, to risk ridicule by being on that panel in this simulated congressional investigation. And Steve did the next best thing, and he hired a number of retired congressional, well, representatives and one retired senator. And it was very interesting. I think they were all honest and they did as good a job as they could in doing what they would normally do if it were a real official event, and to watch some of their minds change. And many of them were really frank about it in their closing remarks. So again, you are following in marvelous footsteps here, and the location is the best location you could have to underscore the seriousness of this event next month.
Yes, Peter. Let me just mention real quickly, we've still got our fundraising event going. If you visit my Facebook page, there's a link there, but it's a GoFundMe page. We're almost to the goal of 13,000, and I know that sounds like a lot of money, but it is an amount that's necessary to put this on and do a good job.
In fact, of the 13,000, you have raised about 12,000 already, haven't you?
Yes, we're over 12,000. I think we're, last count, 12,101.
Well, this is one of those moments where listeners and viewers who are interested in this subject take it seriously and beyond that want to see real change occur, where you can make a difference. So please consider visiting Bob's Facebook page and making a donation. And let's put this over the top.
Peter, if I might add, I've got a special offer just for your audience.
Yes.
Anyone who donates $100 or more, I will send them one of my book, Fated Giant, a signed copy, and it'll be sent to their home free of charge.
This is it right here. The fact is, it's a really important book to add to your UFO library and very unique. Again, Robert Hastings' extraordinary volume, UFOs and Nukes, is a groundbreaker. But there are bloody few accounts by individuals involved in UFO nuclear events. I highly recommend it. So please consider, for both of those reasons, support this work. We have now about 5 minutes before we go to our break. Bob, any closing remarks before we turn it over to our panel?
I just want to thank everybody out there who has donated to this effort. I consider it a personal responsibility because I had the incident. I was a witness to it. These incidents that we'll be talking about, including my own, are well-documented, are well-supported. They really happened. They're real. I want to thank everyone because this has been a grassroots effort. We've had so many donors come forward, some very generous donors, by the way. But I appreciate all of them. We are going to do the absolute best job we can of making a strong case for open hearings, and that's our only purpose, to get the Congress to take this seriously, because if they don't, they will be, let's say, stymied by those keeping the secrets, and they're going to drag their feet as long as they can. Unless we give them a push. So,
yeah,
this is what we're trying to do. Thank you.
Bravo, my friend. Gentlemen, Ryan, Jason, Shane, sum up your thoughts, or the floor is yours for the next 3 minutes. Go nuts.
Well, Bob, I just wanted to say thank you. About 7 years ago, when I first met my partner, I had been very timid to tell dates that I was a UFO researcher. But when I first met her and I told her I was a UFO researcher, I expected her to walk away and never talk to me. And her first question for me was, have you ever read Fated Giant? I'm not kidding you.
No.
And I knew it was meant to be. And we've been together ever since. So I have to thank you for that. I truly do. And for many other things as well.
Where does one find a girl like that?
New York City, that's Peter, awesome. Of all places.
Yeah. Jason. That's great. That's a great story. She read it before you did.
Yep.
Well, I just want to say congrats again, Bob. I mean, I wish you all the luck in the world with this thing. I think it's hugely important. So I do hope the press and the government pay attention and take it seriously. And thank you again for you know, telling people how they can donate to help make this event more impactful. And thank you for the generous offer about the book. I'm going to have to look into that.
Okay.
Great. Shane.
Yeah, same for me, Bob. Thank you so much for doing this. And I do appreciate the book offer, and I'm going to take you up on that myself. But I can't think really of a more important facet of the UAP issue than the relationship with our nuclear facilities and weapons, that kind of thing. So I think it's hugely important. And to me, it's almost a no-brainer that the government itself and the media and others would take that as one of the more serious aspects of UAP. And so I wish you the most success on this, because I think it's really important.
Thank you, Shane. Thank you all. Thank you for having me on.
Somewhere in the Skies is produced by Third Kind Productions in association with the Entertainment One Podcast Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things.
Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.